Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory and up and down the radio network. Along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and we want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And, Sam, I guess today we can say about Dave that he's on an assignment somewhere, huh?
Well, that's exactly correct, and he is. And so we wish him the best during his time of assignment. And we can go ahead and tell what it is. He happens to have a son, I believe, son-in-law. Was it?
Son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to be coming through unannounced and really, you know, family is very, very, very important, and so this is the only time that he could be with him. So he's spending some time with his son-in-law and daughter, so that's a good thing.
I like his son-in-law's name, by the way. It's Toby. And people who know me realize that I've always wanted somebody to name somebody Toby, and the closest I've ever gotten to that is my parents named their dog Toby. And so... That's the news breaking item for today, Sam.
And from there it just goes uphill.
It just goes.
Or down, or just goes. Just
it
goes.
Just goes. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us. And our phone numbers here, if you would like to participate in the program, are toll free 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Or locally in the Philadelphia area, if you happen to be there, it is 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255. And don't hesitate to call if you have a question or if you want to participate, if you want to partake. I encourage you also to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. Because there you can also listen to the program if you'd like to by way of your computer, in that you might be out of town sometime and away from your radio signal. You can pick us up there. You can also correspond with us from that particular website, and we always do appreciate that very, very much. So we encourage you to do that. That is www.standinthegapradio.com. Well, a lot of things taking place again today, as it always is, by the time we come on the radio. And Sam, I think that probably the first thing that we want to identify is the fact that President Obama apparently is going to go to Roseburg, Oregon today. You know, of course, that's where, what was it, just a week ago today, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken. It was a week ago today that 9 people were killed, 10 along with a shooter. And then, of course, I think 7 or 8 others were injured there at the Umpqua Community College in Roseburg. And Mr. Obama is on his way out there. He's supposed to land out there at 11:40 their time, which means he's probably in the air right now. My question to you, Sam, is why is Mr. Obama going to Roseburg, Oregon? It appears as though there are a lot of people out there who don't want him there. Not only, you know, grassroots people, but there are even some leaders in the community who don't want him. And yet he is sort of barging his way in there. Why do you think he's going?
Well, Gary, I think from his own mouth, at least from the statements of the White House, he's going to express and convey his deepest condolences to the families who lost individuals in that. Now, that sounds, Gary, I hate to say it, I mean, but that sounds good. It is appropriate for a president. You know, that's a nice thing to do. It really is. However, one has to back up and say, is that true, though? Is that really why it's going? Because if it is, that's wonderful. But it appears that that's really not the case, because he's all about, and he's already announced it ahead of time, this is all about advancing gun control, because it's all within the context of that he's going to use executive orders to move and advance this whole issue forward. because it's the most, one of the most important things that are there. And I have our listeners to remember that this president's effort to try to pull in and to change and to limit the Second Amendment has been something he's done for a long time. I'm actually looking at an article here from 2013 when the president, in his State of the Union address, made an impassioned, I'm reading now, impassioned the plea for lawmakers to vote on anti-gun violence legislation, which he deemed to be one of the most memorable moments of his presidency, and speak, end quote. What he's attempting to do is use, I believe, this example or this occurrence to again advance a much, much more publicized and something that has been announced for a long time that's been a goal, and that is to limit the right of law-abiding citizens of these United States from exercising their Second Amendment rights. And that's what it's all about. So I believe it's a disingenuous visit and very clearly superseded by what he wants to do, I think, by using executive order to do what Congress at this point has refused to do it.
Well, it's interesting that his planned visit has stirred up animosity amongst the conservatives out there. I think it's Douglas County is where Roseburg is. Yeah, it's Douglas County. And as a matter of fact, one group of residents plans protests at three locations. Leaders say they're expecting at least 2,400 people. One lady said, her name is Michelle Finn, she said, quote, "My family, my friends, everybody down here is not happy about him coming. He already says he's going to politicize this. He's already going to push his agenda. And if he knew Roseburg and Douglas County, he'd know these are the wrong people to be doing that with," end quote. That's a pretty strong statement, Sam.
Well, it is, but you see, even he, the president, has said he believes that it's time to politicize this issue. So he has said that. That's why I'm saying when I make the statement that I think the visit is disingenuous, it's not nearly so much about extending condolences to the victims as much as to advance a political issue. That's exactly what it's about. They have said it. So I think we need to understand that. And, of course, Gary, again, our listeners on the program understand very, very clearly this president has been exercising unconstitutional efforts through the executive branch. He has attacked and undermined multiple areas of constitutional protections. This is another one that this is all about. So I am glad that there are some folks standing up there and protesting against him coming. It's unheard of that it has to be done for a president who theoretically is supposed to be the premier leader of enforcing the laws of our land to become the premier leader for undermining the laws of the land. I mean, this is serious business. I'm glad there's a pushback out there in Oregon.
I am too, and you know, throttle is down on this particular concept of trying to come up with stricter gun rules, because from what we understand, both the president and the vice president, Sam, is trying to encourage pastors to, you know, give them moral support. That is, to give the president and the vice president moral support by way of encouraging people to support further gun control legislation. He's going to pastors. He and Joe are going to pastors to encourage them, to encourage their congregations to cry out for more gun control. We'll talk more about that when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today for this Friday. Our numbers are 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. We will be back with more right after this, so stay tuned.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Louis Cass was born this day, October 9th, 1782. He fought in the War of 1812 and later became governor of Michigan. Cass made treaties with the Indians, organized townships, and built roads. He was a U.S. Senator, Secretary of State under President Buchanan, and the Democratic presidential candidate in 1848. Louis Cass stated, "The fate of Republican government is indissolubly bound up with the fate of the Christian religion, and a people who reject its holy faith will find themselves the slaves of their own evil passions and of arbitrary power."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and we're talking about the president going out to Roseburg, Oregon today to encourage and comfort and share sympathy, I guess you could say, with the family and friends and other individuals who are related to those who lost young people in that shooting at the Umpqua Community College last Friday. And just before we went into the break, we were talking about the fact that the president and the vice president, both of them, are calling for pastors all across the country to make a moral decision, as it were, and to give them moral support in coming up with stricter gun control laws. And I don't know, we might have a pastor listening to us today who would like to share some thoughts on that. If you are a pastor, would you encourage your congregation to write to Washington, to write to the president, to write to your legislators, and ask them to have stricter gun control laws or not? How would you respond to that, Pastor? 1-877-667-1180, or locally in the Philadelphia area, 610-539-8255. Sam, I've got two questions to ask you. Number one, what kind of pastors do you think would be those who would go along with asking the president and encouraging Biden and others to make stricter gun laws? And then the second question is, what kind of advice would the American Pastors Network give Mr. Obama and Mr. Biden?
Well, Gary, I can assure you that the president or this administration, I can affirm anyways, that they have not contacted the American Pastors Network for their input. nor have they contacted probably any pastor who is listening to these many radio stations now on this network across the country. Because not all pastors are equal. You know, Gary, we've talked about it before. Best indications, best surveys would indicate that less than 30% of all pastors in the pulpits believe in the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So the majority of pastors in the pulpit are not teaching or nor do they believe what Scripture says. And obviously we know that biblical underpinnings and the Scripture underpin all of our liberties and freedoms that are embodied and codified in our Constitution. So therefore, if you want to find pastors who use that name and in that position, and you want somebody who does not agree with the protections afforded by our Constitution, you are not going to go to any of that 30% who believe in the authority of Scripture. You're going to go to one of those in that 70% who do not believe in the authority of Scripture, who believe, and this is where it comes down, who believe that their primary mission is to advance what they call social justice, not truth that follows through with justice as we understand it, with the underpinnings of our Constitution. So the president seeks advice from those pastors who are of that 70% don't believe in Scripture, number one. Number two, they therefore do not subscribe to the Constitution and the principles that rights that it employs. And there are many of them who are more than glad to stand up, and some of them evidently are aligning themselves with the president.
Hmm. Well, we realize, I think we mentioned this in the first segment, we realize that he has called a group of pastors to the White House to encourage them to stand with him on gun control. And even as we speak, we are learning that the Drudge Report is saying that the Washington Post is reporting that Obama is seriously considering circumventing Congress on stronger gun control. Do you think he would do that?
Gary, I know you're saying that, and just because how could we, as we said in the other segment, how could it be that someone who takes an oath to be the lead enforcement individual, the president of these United States, to support and enforce the laws as enacted by Congress and codified by the Declaration, by the Constitution, how can we even imagine if someone like that would actively say, I'm going to go around the Constitution, which if he says I'm going around Congress, he's going around the Constitution, and directly state that he's going to do his own thing regardless. Gary, this is like those many pastors who say they occupy a position of influence, when they do, and a position, which they have, but frankly are not upholding the truth and are subverting the truth. That's what the president's doing, and that's why all of this is so critical. You know, Gary, in this article from the Washington Post, they talk about one group there. It's called the Industrial Arias Foundation. That purports itself to be a multi-faith conglomeration of about 20 different groups that are supporting what the president's doing, and they are giving some moral, quote-unquote, credence to what he's asking for, and they are encouraging him to go ahead and do what he needs to do through executive order because this aspect of social justice is so critically important. And I can go into who those folks are, but I think it'll be very interesting.
I would like to hear who they are. Sure. Did you say you could go into that?
I could, but you know, you set this segment up, Gary, by saying, why is the president even seeking moral authority?
Yeah.
And I said, well, because he doesn't have constitutional authority.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have constitutional authority. Go ahead.
No, he does. But this is who this group is, and it'll put it in perspective. The Industrial Areas Foundation, which is included in this article as someone that the White House is citing, that is publicly stepping out, was established in 1940 by who? Saul David Alinsky.
Doesn't surprise me.
Saul Alinsky. Alinsky, and a board of directors that included Marshall Field, Roman Catholic Bishop Scheel, and Catherine Lewis, daughter of John Lewis, then president of the United Mine Workers.
Mine Workers Union.
Mm-hmm. There you go, Gary. This is who the group is. They have presence in many states. They purport themselves, and this is what I say when I look up their mission. This is how they describe themselves. They say that the work of the Industrial Areas Foundation, again, flowing directly out of Saul Alinsky and the United Mine Workers, which is all Marxism, all right, says they directly flow from their commitment to Judeo-Christian and democratic values.
Say that again.
That's right. The work of this Industrial Areas Foundation flows directly from a commitment to Judeo-Christian and democratic values. They say they seek to embody Judeo-Christian, I'm quoting, Judeo-Christian and democratic values, and they invest heavily in the identification of training and all that kind of stuff and they just go through. But, Gary, this is what – Yeah,
go ahead. They do not know what Judeo-Christian ethics are all about or what this Constitution's all about. That's a bold-faced lie.
Gary, it is absolutely a lie, but it gives the face – it gives the face of some – moral basis, and it makes it appear as if it is very broadly accepted. And so anybody who says, anybody who makes a statement like that, they've got to be good. Gary, most of the pulpits of America that have the 70% of people don't believe in the authority of Scripture would stand and say, they're Christians.
Yep.
They would stand and say that they're all about doing the right thing, social justice. They're not about the truth, Gary. And this is what the president, when you ask the question, who is the president trying to get to endorse unconstitutional, liberal, and vile types of direction? They're going after people, Saul Alinsky-type people, who are more than glad to make a statement that is a bold-faced lie in order to try and accomplish what is, frankly, at the end of the day, an unconstitutional, un-Republican, small-r form of government. There's so much subterfuge in Gary. That's why people need to listen to this program. These things are very important to understand and to relate.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, on the other side of this particular coin, just recently, Ben Carson, you know, they say he ignited another controversy. I mean, you know, people are out looking for controversies from Ben Carson and others. But it was interesting to note that he said, and I quote, "I think the likelihood of Hitler being abler to accomplish his goals would have been greatly diminished if the people had been armed," end quote. That's, of course, what Ben Carson told CNN's Wolf Blitzer, I think it was yesterday. So, you know, on one hand, you've got those who want to disarm America. And on the other hand, Ben Carson comes along and says, well, if the Germans had more guns, there would not have been a Hitler. What do you think? Is that
true?
Well,
Gary, he is correct. Well, Gary, yes, it is true what he said. And because it's so true, that's why those who want us to take away our freedom want to take away our guns. But again, we can come back and actually talk about the biblical underpinnings of the right to self-defense. Do we even have it biblically? I think we do, Gary.
Well, we'll talk about it. But, you know, that Second Amendment was put in there to stand against tyrannical government. And that's exactly who Hitler was. And so, you know, Ben Carson really has a point there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll continue this discussion along with some other things, so you won't want to go away. And we just have so much for you while we are chomping at a bit to get it out. So stay tuned. We will be back in about 3 minutes as we continue with Stand in the Gap today for a Friday.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan, sources tell Fox, will take the weekend to think about whether he wants to be Speaker of the House.
The day after Republican leader Kevin McCarthy abruptly ended his run for Speaker, delaying leadership votes, Republicans are regrouping.
If Paul Ryan gets in, I will support him. I will get out of the race and put all my weight I can behind Paul Ryan.
Jason Chaffetz says Ryan so far has rejected a bid to become Speaker.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern at the Capitol. A U.S. airman who helped stop an attack on a train in France is in serious but stable condition in Sacramento, California.
Spencer Stone now in intensive care after getting stabbed outside a bar Wednesday night. New video shows Spencer throwing punches after getting ambushed by a group of men. Police calling it an alcohol-fueled bar brawl. No arrests have been made.
Fox News Radio's Monica Ricks. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt, located in the King of Prussia Mall.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work, walk the dog, have the dog walk you, take a hike, take a bike, skate, dance, hop, jump, do the Humpty Hump, skip seconds, skip dessert, skip, skip, skip to my loo, don't skip breakfast, drink H2O, lower your sodium, raise the roof, shake your booty, stock up on vegetables, and don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Well, thank you for coming back and rejoining us, ladies and gentlemen, for this Friday edition of Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. And I'll tell you what, there are so many things to talk about. They are just rolling off the line as we even speak. And we can't get to everything on this program, but we do want to continue our discussion on gun control. And Sam, just before we went into the break, you mentioned that there is a biblical basis for self-defense, which is the reason why the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution has been written and is included in the Bill of Rights. Why don't you share with our people here today what that biblical basis for self-defense is all about?
Gary, just because we have limited time, I'm just going to hit the highlight of it, but I can say that this question of does a Christian have a right to bear arms? In biblical times, it may have been a sword. Today, it would be a gun or perhaps a sword or a knife. But in any regard, do we have the right and or biblical duty to defend oneself? And the answer is absolutely yes, we do. And how does it fall? Well, it falls under the concept that those in positions of authority, just like in Romans 13, have the ability to carry the sword, and that's a weapon. It's given there to help, you know, uphold God's standard of judgment. So clearly government has it. They're the only one has the ability to actually take somebody's life, capital punishment, but they have that part. But everybody else, the father in the home, the individual, and our laws here in this country recognize it, so that if someone comes after you as a person, you have a right for self-defense recognized by our law. Why? Because it's a very clear violation of the value of life for another person to try and take life, which is one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. So anything on that point allows for a self-defense. But the Bible, and so it's same thing coming into one's home. If someone comes into the home, the father has a duty responsibility to protect his family to the best that he can. But the Old Testament, in a number of passages, also takes and lays it out so that there are limitations on it. You just don't have a right to go out. If somebody comes in your house and you think someone came into your house to inflict bodily harm, and you chased them out of your house, or you went across the yard or the field and you killed them in the field because they had tried to kill you in your house, that would be a violation of Old Testament law. That was a violation, frankly, of our current law. Because once they go outside your home, then you must allow civil government to pursue them. But in your home, you have a right to inflict injury upon them. And if they die, you're innocent under our current system of Western law, and you're innocent under biblical law as defined in the Old Testament. So there are limitations. It's not the ability to defend oneself is not the right to go pursuing somebody. That's civil government's responsibility if they have committed harm. But to defend oneself is clearly there. And I'll just complete with one thing. Even the Lord himself in the Bible, when Peter, as we call in the garden, when the high priest or the Sanhedrin's folks came in to take Christ away for crucifixion and to take him at that point, Peter raised up his sword and he cut off servant's ear, Malthus's ear. Jesus, even at that point, did not tell Peter, why in the world do you have a sword, Peter? He said, Peter, this is the wrong time to use the sword.
That's right.
And he put his ear back on. Jesus himself told his disciples, go buy a sword and buy a cloak and go out. So why would Jesus say buy a sword? It's for self-defensive purposes. So without going into a lot more detail, this principle of self-defense for the protection of oneself or the protection of one's family, and then in our nation, Second Amendment, for the protection of our collective family and nation, from who? Well, it could be from the murderer down the street who comes into my house, or it could be a tyrannical form of government that comes into our homes or in our nation itself and turns biblical justice upside down and actually moves against the citizen. All of it is the same principle, and it's biblically based, Gary.
Well, it is, and I think you did a fine job in explaining that, Sam. And I don't know about you, but I'm here to announce to those who are listening, friend or foe, that the Dahl household is quite readily equipped with the proper weaponry for self-defense in the event anybody gets any strange ideas, Sam. I just want to make that statement very, very clear here today in the program.
Well, that's a good warning.
don't try anything, Sam. I'll be there watching for you. And what's that? Go ahead.
I said, don't come to my house either, Gary, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, we've got that all settled. I do want to just make a statement by way of announcement, sort of, ladies and gentlemen. We are all aware of what Planned Parenthood has been doing and how wicked and how very far out they are. And, of course, you know, over the past several months, a damaging series of undercover videos has exposed their gruesome behind-closed-doors practices of the of what they've been doing. Well, tomorrow, across the nation, there are going to be a number of peaceful protests at Planned Parenthood locations. And I think there's going to be something like 250 of them across the country. And if you would like to participate at one of those peaceful protests, certainly feel free to do that. That, once again, is one of our rights here. We have the right to peacefully protest in the United States of America. So if you are interested in doing that, I'm going to give you a website where you can go to in order to find out just exactly where those locations are. Like I said, there are 250 of them across the country. And I know we have people listening to us all across the country. So if you're interested, you can go to simply protestpp.com. That's protestpp.com. Protestpp.com, and find out where those peaceful protests are going to be. And in the event that you want to have take part in a peaceful protest against the gruesome, murderous actions of Planned Parenthood. Now, Sam, we're going to change gears just a little bit and talk about what's taking place down in Washington, D.C. Yesterday, when we were on the program, as we were on the program, we heard that Kevin McCarthy was stepping out of the race for the Speaker of the House of the United States Representatives, and there's a lot of talk going on about why that happened. Is it because he didn't have the votes? Is it because he had a skeleton in the closet? Is it because he was pressured to back off? It's interesting to note, Sam, that it is being reported today that Donald Trump actually thinks that he is at least partially responsible for getting McCarthy to get out of that race. As a matter of fact, this is basically what Trump said recently. He said, and I quote, "I would like to see someone that's very tough and that can negotiate with the Democrats, and I don't think he, that is Kevin McCarthy, is the person." He went on to say, "We need somebody that's a very, very tough, smart, cunning person. I don't know that that's him, and obviously this statement is going to hurt him badly in the eyes of some, unfortunately." Well, when Kevin McCarthy stepped down, Donald Trump is taking the credit for it. Now, whether he can rightfully do that or not, I do not know. But it's interesting to observe what's going on. And, you know, we've just learned that Paul Ryan, who right away came out and said, "I'm not going to put my name in to be the Speaker of the House of Representatives." You know, one of the things that we are learning now is that he's going to take the weekend to think about it, to pray about it. Sam, what's your take on this? What in the world is going on behind closed doors in Washington, D.C. today, particularly in the House of Representatives?
Well, Gary, many say that it's a banana republic. I mean, they're reading those articles out there. They're calling all a disarray, they're saying, total confusion. There is clearly some confusion, and I believe that surprising withdrawal by McCarthy, Drudge and other leading indicators are saying that it was a release from Homeland Security that actually put a thing out there that showed that North Carolina Representative Renee Elmers and Representative Kevin McCarthy, I'm reading right off the headlines here, were having an affair. So that's out there. That's what is being said. I can tell you this, that kind of surprising withdrawal from a race of that type does not happen for something small. So whether that's it or whether that's not, I don't know for sure. That's what's being reported. I'm just saying that's what's mentioned there. And they actually, Homeland Security gave an IP address that they would track that down. So something's a little strange even how they even released that. And that's probably a story unto itself. who released it from Homeland Security, why they released it, how somebody got hold of it. That's a question I'd like to know. But in any regard, those things all now put this thing back up in the air. And I think, Gary, it opens the door for consideration of people, perhaps, who have not been considered before, or perhaps even, as some are talking about, getting somebody who's not in Congress, perhaps, to come back into that seat.
You said perhaps three times, and I would say that I agree with you. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps.
That's right.
Something is going to happen, perhaps.
That's and, for sure.
Perhaps. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today for this Friday. Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl here. Don't go away. We will be back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier. He said, the calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come. Expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He said, God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore, he said, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. And we're talking about what's taking place down in Washington, D.C., in light of the fact that Kevin McCarthy took his name out of the running for the position of being Speaker of the House there in the United States House of Representatives. And I suppose that until it all comes out, it's only speculation as to why he stepped down. But, Sam, you know, as I mentioned, Donald Trump says that he's taking some credit for this. I don't know what your thoughts are on that one. But in addition to that, and that probably doesn't really make a whole lot of difference, but in addition to that, you know, the question is, who are they going to consider next? Like I said just before we went into the break, Paul Ryan first and foremost came out and said, I'm not the guy. I don't want to be there. And yet we've just found out recently in the last few minutes that he's willing to take the whole weekend and pray about it, talk about it. Then there's Trey Gowdy. Some folks are trying to get him to run, and Daniel Webster and Jason Chaffetz. Jason Chaffetz basically has said that if Paul Ryan runs, he's going to take his name out of the running. Then, you know, Newt Gingrich was even asked if he would be willing to be put into that place, because what most people do not realize is that you do not need to be a member of the House of Representatives to sit as the Speaker of the House. And, you know, he didn't say no. Matter of fact, he said that it would be a great honor to be called out of retirement, just like George Washington did, was, to go into public office and serve. So, you know, who knows? Maybe old Newt will be back there again. I would highly doubt that. But where do you think this thing is going to go? I mean, you know, some have suggested a senior or a retiring member should serve as the next Speaker of the House for the next 14 months until we have a new president. What are your thoughts on that, Sam?
Well, Gary, is it possible that that someone like Abe Newt, as an example, or someone who is a, who is going to retire, because that's part of what some of them are saying as well, that let's get somebody who's not going to be there for life. Let's get somebody who's going to demonstrate the concept of term limits, that kind of a thing, so that you know, they're going to have to consider something like that, because I think what has happened is that the Freedom Caucus group of about 40-some members that were definitely those that helped to precipitate the resignation of John Boehner into the beginning, and probably, in fact, did have clearly something to do with Kevin McCarthy's decision to back out, that within that, the Republican majority, there are going to have to give something of value and of principle to that group of principled 40 members of the House. I do not believe that they're going to bring themselves around to make a pragmatic choice and saying, well, we're just going to accept another John Boehner type. I don't think they're going to do that. So both sides have kind of made themselves into specific camps. They're going to have to do something to bring them together. So I think you I think the concept of coalition and so forth, bridging the gap, bridging the gulf, is going to probably come forth, because ultimately this is a political process inside this caucus. That's why somebody who may be a senior member who is, say, I will only be there for one term or the balance of this term, they really could all agree to it and go ahead with it and appear to have, if not appear, but have some unity. Somebody like Newt Gingrich I find to be of most interesting consideration, because he was there. He clearly has the experience. He was capable in so many ways. He had failure in certain areas, too. He was not a perfect speaker, but he has certain presence on the dais that may appeal to quite a number of them. And so I wouldn't take his name out. I think that bringing up probably will have a bit more commentary in the days ahead.
You know, it's interesting that Louis Gohmert, you know, who we know is a Christian, he said, and I quote, "What Kevin has done is extremely selfless, and I think he's done a brave and courageous thing. He was close to being right there, and he chose to unify the conference rather than waging battles," end quote. My question is, Sam, do you think that will McCarthy stepping down unite the conference? Is that a pretty good potential? Or is it going to continue to be chaotic, even as Tom DeLay told us last week it is down there because of the lack of leadership?
Gary, I don't think that his stepping down will by any ways cause a unity within the caucus. It probably prevented a further division within the caucus. That's probably true. But his departure does not ensure unity, because the reason that there would have been division was that the philosophies and the internal practice of pragmatism over principle employed by Speaker Boehner and Kevin McCarthy are anathema to principle-based candidates, I mean, not candidates, but members of the House who are there primarily concerned about upholding their oath to the Constitution and their obligation towards God. So I think what this does is it now produces an opportunity for some really, really serious discussion. But at the point, at some point, the establishment Republicans are going to have to concede certain critical positions to the principled-based Republicans, and perhaps that's going to come in the form of a member that's not going to be there for life, or one of these other things that are floating around. I don't think the establishment Republicans are going to agree to a Daniel Webster. I don't think they will agree to a Louis Gohmert. I don't think they're going to go that way. You may need to have somebody that has limited time, or perhaps like a. It perhaps produces, I'm sure there's serious thinking about that.
I dropped you there a little bit. What did you say there was serious thinking about? You sort of faded away for a minute there, Sam. What did you say?
I'd say that the reason that there, that I believe, is more than a casual consideration of a Newt Gingrich.
Okay.
Is because he does provide an option for both sides to appear to come together without, in fact, having to perhaps concede anything or suffer any kind of public defeat. That's why that probably, I'm saying, is probably getting more than just a casual consideration.
Mm. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out in time. And, you know, in some of my research, Sam, I even came across the fact that there's a rumor that Boehner's resignation and, and McCarthy's consideration and then his resignation – was done to make it look like an emergency so that Boehner would stay in there for a period of time. Would you put that past Boehner?
Well, I don't know that was something that was that necessarily would have been a strategic decision up front, but could that be the result? Absolutely, it could be the result. And that is obviously one of those options, because there's no reason that says that Speaker Boehner has to officially resign. He's got a term of office still to complete. That is a very real possibility.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, just another reason why you need to stay tuned here to Stand in the Gap today, as we are on 5 days a week at the same time on this same radio station. We're going to take about a two-day break, and then, the Lord willing, we will be back with you again Monday for the Monday edition of Stand in the Gap today. Until then, on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, who's not with us today, I'm Gary Dull, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.